Let me add my praise to our mothers as well. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. I don't know if the mothers in the back stood up, but we see you, Mom. If you didn't stand up in the back, we recognize all of our mothers, and I want to say happy Mother's Day to you. We have some of the finest mothers that I know right here, in not only in my life, but in this church. You know, in Proverbs 31, well describes the women that are in my life and in this church. And speaking of the virtuous woman, Proverbs 31, 28 says this. Says, her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. I had somebody ask me this morning, said, Brother Matt, did you buy your wife Mother's Day gifts? I said, yes. She's the mother of my children. Nobody else signed up for that job, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Of course, the Bible says her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also. And he praises her for her motherhood. And today, Mom, I want to say thank you to my mother, who has been a rock in my life. Thank you to you for being the mother you are, to my wife. Thank you for being a mother to my children, to all of our moms. Thank you for being mothers to the children of this church and to our community. We thank you so much. The idea behind that is that they greatly respect her because she's earned the praise of her family. She is blessed, or that word could be translated happy, because her children praise her as the source of wisdom that makes them godly. And mothers are indeed a blessing from God. All the children, our children, are you in here? Is there any children in here? All the children, I want you to know something. Your mother is a blessing to you from God. And if your mother is sitting in this building with you today, you better honor her. You better rise up and you better bless her today. There are lots of children all over this world who do not have mothers to love them and to nurture them. Romans 1 describes a world in which we live when it says that people have left their natural affections. And that literally means that there are things that should be natural to a man or a woman that they no longer do. And some of those things are women who love their children and nurture them. And there are women all over the world neglecting their children. And there are children all over the world without their moms. There are some children today whose mothers have passed on and they don't have a mother with them. And so if your mother is sitting here today, children, rise up and bless her and honor her. And all the mothers said, amen. They ought to do that. And mothers, if your children do not rise up and bless you today, you call me. I have lots of belts. And we'll get America back on the right track. Amen. Mothers are a blessing from God. They're gentle. They're loving. They're kind. They're compassionate. Not all mothers are gentle. I heard about a young man who was trying out for the police academy, and during his academy recruit exam, they asked him an ethical question. They said, young man, you make the police force, and you have to arrest your own mother. What do you do? He said, that's a no-brainer. I call for backup. Amen. Not all mothers are gentle, but sometimes I want to remind you this, gentle parenting is for gentle children. And we have a generation full of heathens. We have a generation full of lawless children who don't know what a leather strap is, but they ought to know. You ought to bless your children with a whipping every now and then. I know some of you are against that, but the Bible is very much for it. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction driveth it far from them. That's in the Bible. I didn't write that. Gentle parenting is for gentle children. Sometimes motherhood takes as much grit as it does grace. And we have a mother today that we're going to look at. You know of her, but you may not know her name. It is the mother of Moses. And some of you are already searching your memory banks going, well, I know that Moses had a mother, obviously. And I don't know her name, but we have been talking the last several weeks about the tests of life. And we're going to talk about a mother who passed a test. Today's message is entitled Magnificent Moms When Moses Hit the Mother Lode. Exodus chapter 2, look with me in our text. Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "There went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife of the daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes," means she made him a little basket, "and she daubed it with slime and with pitch, in the same way that the ark was created. They pitched it within and without with a substance to keep it watertight. And she put the child therein and laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to watch what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept." There's an old Jewish fable that says an angel of the Lord pinched Moses at the moment that Pharaoh's daughter opened that basket up, made him cry. That's just a Jewish fable. "And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' And then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter," talking about Miriam, Moses' sister. Remember, she was standing by to see what would happen to Moses. "She says to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. She said, 'Because I have drawn him out of the water.'" And the word Moses, the name Moses means to bear or to take out. Let's stop right there. So there's a lady in this passage of Scripture. You don't see her name until you get to chapter 6. Her name is Jochebed. Or in the Hebrew, it would be like Jochebed. Her name is not mentioned here, but what she did here in this passage of Scripture is truly amazing. She is a magnificent mom, and of all the mothers, I would say that Moses hit the mother lode with Jochebed. Jochebed was a woman who was of faith. In fact, when you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and you read in God's Hall of Faith, you read it is by faith that Moses' mother did the things that she did. She is a magnificent mom, and I want to just kind of walk through this story and share a few thoughts with you from this passage of Scripture. Think about this. First of all, I want you to notice the benefit of a faithful marriage. Now, I know it's Mother's Day, and in fact, Mother's Day ought to be a day to give mom the day off. Maybe don't preach at mom, maybe preach around mom to everybody else. But I would be remiss to not mention that there are benefits that come from having a happy, healthy, and holy marriage. Now, Satan knows something. Satan knows that the strength of a country is found in its communities. He knows that the strength of the community is found in the church. And he knows that the strength of a church is found in its couples. When God put this ordained institution together of marriage, Satan went out of his way to try to find a way to break that marriage down. And Satan knows that if he can destroy a marriage, he can destroy a home, he can destroy a community, and he can destroy a country. And consequently, marriage is being broken down in our country so badly that we don't even recognize what it's supposed to be anymore. Yet in our passage of Scripture, we see that there is a marriage before there was a Moses. In verse 1, it says, "There went a man out of the house of Levi and took a daughter of Levi. So I want you to notice the formula for the home. There's a formula here, and it's pretty simple. First of all, God made a man, and he saw that it was not good that a man should be alone, and so God made a woman for a man. And the Bible tells us this. All the dads, listen up today. All the husbands, listen up. The Bible says that whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing. You ought to honor and cherish and bless and praise your wife. And the Bible also says that therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This was the very first institution that God ordained, a marriage between a man and a woman. And people want to blur the lines today between men and women, but God has made us different. And listen, he made us different by design. Aren't you glad that you're different than your wife? I know she's glad she's different than you. We're different by design. And people want to say we're all the same. We're not all the same. And we're not all the same on purpose. The qualities that a woman has, a man does not have. The qualities that a man has, women do not have. Can a woman be strong? Yes. There are women bodybuilders that I wouldn't wrestle. But by nature, women are soft, men are hard. The Bible calls her the weaker vessel. Not that she's necessarily physically weaker, but she probably is. But she's an honored vessel. He's made women with a nurturing spirit. Men don't have that same spirit. Mothers pick their children up and kiss their boo-boos and wipe them down. And mothers pat the babies on the back and say, oh, my poor baby. And what does dad say? What does he say? Say it. Rub some dirt in it. Rub some dirt in it. We're not the same. We're not the same. And it's okay that we're not the same because God created us different by design. And he made us different, not that we might compete with one another, but that we might complete one another. Your wife and your mother are going to bring strength to the home that your dad does not have. And dad will bring strength to the home that mom doesn't have. My wife has a billion great qualities. And I usually say things looking around, make sure she's not in here, but I'll make sure she is in here today. And so I can say some things that are appropriate. She has a billion good qualities. She has several that I do not have. One of them is intuition. My wife is a human lie detector. Moms are human lie detectors. You notice this? I'm serious. She should work for the FBI. I take everybody at face value. I go, well, he seems like a nice guy. She said, well, he was stealing your wallet. And I don't have a clue. And she told me the other day, she said, listen, I have to live. Because if I die, our children are doomed because you don't have a clue what is going on. And she's right. And I'm just living my life. And I told her, I said, listen, I said, I don't worry about what's going on because I know you're doing enough for both of us. She's on it. I said, my job is to go to work, make money, pay the bills, and I know you got this. But even if I was in charge of most of these things, I wouldn't. I don't have that intuition. I don't. Ladies seem to have that. God made us different. There is a formula for the home. But there's a foundation for the home too. In verse 1, we read that Moses' parents were both of the house of Levi, meaning that both of these people came from the godly priestly tribe of Levi. This tells us something of great importance, and I hope you're listening. It tells us that Moses had a godly mother and he had a godly father. It isn't just mom's job to be the godly example for her children. And so often, and it's a shame, and I haven't got to Father's Day. I'll get to you eventually. I don't even know what I got to say to you yet. But it is not mom's job to always be the spiritual leader. He had godly parents, both of a priestly tribe, both of a godly tribe. And listen, Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. And if you have a godly mother, you ought to thank God for her and you ought to follow her leadership. But in this foundation for the home, there's a formula. God made a man for a woman, and there's a foundation that both of these people had a godly lineage. And husbands, I want to encourage you today, because I know we live in a backward society today. I want to encourage you as well that if your wife is the spiritual leader of your house, you better get ahead of that and get in charge of that kind of leadership in your home. It is not her responsibility to be the spiritual leader in your household. It's not. Now, she ought to be a godly example. She ought to be a godly woman. She ought to be a beautiful example of God's grace and His mercy and His peace and His love and His kindness and His joy. She ought to be all of those things. And you say, well, that don't describe my wife. Well, she has to live with you. She has to live with you. If I had a nickel for every time someone told Kara, I don't know, what made you marry this guy? Thank you for that blessing, by the way. Let me tell you why Kara married me. You want to know why she married me? Because that man back there told her she couldn't. That's her dad. He said, you're not marrying that guy. And she was teenage, and she was rebellious. See what teenage rebellion will get you? The gift that keeps on giving the whole year round, Clark. Now you're thinking to yourself, well, it seems obvious. But don't let this pass you by. It was by the faith of the father of Moses that he is preserved. It's by the faith of the mother of Moses that he is preserved. We live in a godless generation. We do. Our children are in grave danger. There is a war on your children. If your children are in public school, your children are in spiritual danger. And I speak from experience. My children are in public school. One of them is not going to be in public school next year. They're in danger. They face all kind of issues. And it is only when a mother and a father are pulling together that they have the great advantage that they need. The greatest advantage that you can give to your children is the foundation for the home of a godly mother and a godly father. Fathers, don't be slackers. Don't be slackers. I know it's not Father's Day, but really, Mom ought to get the day off. Seriously. Help together build the foundation. That's why the Bible says, there ought to be balance in your marriage, but that's why the Bible says that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to marry this person even though I'm a Christian and they're not, and I'm going to work on getting them saved. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible doesn't say start a marriage ministry. The Bible says that we are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A yoke was a piece of farm equipment by which you tied two animals, namely oxen, together. And the reason why you're not to be unequally yoked is because you're pulling in opposite directions with different strengths. I was knocking on doors one day and I met a lady and I was inviting her to church and she said, what kind of church is it? I said, it's a Baptist church. And she said, well, I'm a Baptist. And I said, well, that's great. I thought you looked really intelligent. And she says, well, my husband is an atheist. And I couldn't resist. And I said, well, hang on. I said, you're a Baptist and your husband's an atheist. I said, how did that happen? And she said, well, we make it work. Now, I got news for you. If one of you is a Christian and one of you is an atheist, either you're not a very good Christian or they're not a very good atheist. You're not the same. The foundation and the formula is a man and a woman who are equally yoked together in Christ Jesus, building a spiritual foundation for our children. You want to help your children? You forget. So don't worry about their college fund. Get them a college fund if you got the money. You want to help your children? Don't worry about if Junior can play ball or not. Junior's not that good. Less than 1% will go to college and play ball. Every one of your children are going to stand before God. If you want to help your children, you get together under the covenant of God and become God. Godly mothers and godly fathers pulling together and give your children a crying chance to meet Jesus in the way that they ought to meet Him. I'm telling you right now, that is the benefits of a faithful marriage. You can help your children. You can help them be a team. It's going to take both of you. It's going to take both of you. Dad, don't be absent. Mom, you're going to have to do a lot of the work because dads are lazy today. They are. They're lazy. They're spiritually lazy. And dad, if that offends you, good. You can come apologize to me after church that you're spiritually lazy. I'll forgive you. Don't be lazy and absent. Help mom out. Do it together. There's benefits of a faithful marriage. Now, notice secondly here in this story, not only the benefits of a faithful marriage, notice the boldness of a faithful mother. It says in verse 2 that she conceived and bare a child, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. A good marriage is the foundation of a healthy, happy, and holy home. But however, when God wants to build a good man or a great man, he starts with a mother. He starts with a woman. God is building one of the greatest men to ever have lived in Moses. And it starts with the boldness of a faithful mother. She's a godly mother. Notice this. Notice the time of Moses' arrival. You've heard people say, well, I got pregnant, but it wasn't a good time to have a child. Listen, there was not a worse time in the world to have a child than when Moses was born. You remember from a few weeks ago, I talked to you about Joseph and how he passed all the tests that he took. Joseph, when he was passing his tests, brought his brothers and his father from where they were into Egypt. You remember he had risen to be the prime minister of Egypt. He's in control of all of these things. He's second in command in Egypt. He brings his father Jacob and his brothers over. He gives them the land of Goshen. They are blessed. They're living in a great time. But the Bible says in chapter 1 and verse 8 that there rose a new king in Egypt who did not know Joseph. And now what has happened is Joseph is long gone. The king who knew Joseph is long gone. The Egyptians are looking at the Israelites who are growing there in Egypt. They are massive in numbers, and they are intimidated by the Israelites. And the new king said, I know what we'll do. Because if these Jews ever figure out that they're more than we are, we're doomed. Here's what we'll do. We're going to kill all the Hebrew boys. And they commanded the midwives that when the Jewish women are having their babies, to kill the boys. The girls, you can save them alive, but kill the boys. We're going to slow down this Jewish population. And lo and behold, Jochebed is pregnant. Could you imagine how terrifying that must have been for her? And in her mind, you can't help but wonder the thoughts that went through her mind, like, well, I know the decree that's come down that a Jewish boy is to be killed. They were taking them and throwing them into the Nile River, also known as the River of Death because of all the crocodiles and the hippos and things you might find there that would destroy a life. And her baby is born. And she looks at her baby. And maybe in her mind it's the worst case scenario that it's a boy. But something happens inside of her. It says that she looked and saw that he was a goodly child. It means that she could tell there was something special. Now, I know every mother who's ever had a child looked at their child and thought that that child was special. And Junior, he's special. He is. And what's funny is because when you're in ministry, you get to go see new babies and everybody thinks they're adorable. And we all know that most of them are ugly. They really are. Now, they get cuter. About 2 or 3 months, they start fattening up a little bit. You guys, but when y'all started out, y'all were not good looking. But she looks at the child and she says, this is a goodly child. The Israelites are out of favor with the Egyptians. The time could not have been a worse time for Moses to be born. Because now they're going to kill him. But I want you to notice not only the time of Moses' birth, I want you to see the trust of Moses' mother. We read in Hebrews 11, which is God's hall of faith, we read about the faith of his parents. And notice something about Jochebed here. Notice her revelation. She sees that it's a goodly child. And she's not just saying, it's not just saying that this child is cute or good looking. The idea here is that there had to be some sort of divine revelation from God to tell her, there's something about this child. I have a plan for this child. Don't let them have your child because he is special to me. And the Bible says that she's not only do we see her revelation, we see her resolve. She hid the child for 3 months. Could you imagine? Can you imagine how difficult it would be to hide a child for 3 months? When they cry and they whine. You know how, you remember how hard it was when they were little to take them to a restaurant? Y'all remember how many of y'all remember the shame of going to a restaurant and your kid is screaming and hollering and everybody's looking around going, shut that kid up, man. Shut that kid up. I'm trying to have dinner over here. Y'all remember that shame? Y'all felt it. We all felt it. We're like, oh man, shut up, Junior. Shut up. You're making me look bad. Act like you've been to town before. Right? Y'all remember this? And then he projectile vomits all over the restaurant. Throws a plate in the floor. That was Leah, but, I mean, you get the idea. I mean, 3 months. We see her revelation, her resolve to save this child, to keep this child safe. I would imagine the Egyptians are probably doing house checks. The Bible doesn't necessarily say that, but I would imagine that they're probably going around checking. Because they know there are mothers like Jochebed who are going to try to preserve their children. But notice not only her revelation, her resolve, notice her resilience. When she could not hide him no more, she still didn't turn him over to the enemy. It says that she made a mini ark, placed him in it, and ironically, she placed it in the river where he was supposed to drown. Now I want you to notice something. Isn't it ironic that Moses was drawn out of the very river where he was supposed to die? Isn't it ironic that he becomes a prince in the very palace where lives a Pharaoh who wanted to destroy him? Isn't it further ironic that Moses becomes the deliverer of God's people who would ultimately come back to Egypt, pronounce curses on Egypt, and then lead God's people out of there, all raised in the king's house, all raised by his family and his resources. Listen, that isn't irony. That is the divine providence of God working in the life of somebody. And it all started with a faithful mother who trusted God, who said, I'm going to trust God with this child. Obviously, God has a plan for him. And listen, God is ultimately in control anyway. As parents, we can do what we can do, but our job is to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But in the end, they're ultimately in his care. We're going to turn them loose. And by the way, moms and dads, I want to say this to you. You raise your children to release them. To release them. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. Raise them. Raise them righteously and then release them. They're in God's care. And that's exactly what Jochebed did. She did what she could do, and then she put him out there and put Moses out there in God's hands. And anything that's under God's control is never out of control. I want to tell you guys, I know, listen to me, I know that it gets uncomfortable in here. I know that we're shoulder to shoulder. I know that it's hot. Y'all say it's cold. Y'all should all sit up here and I'll stand out there. I know it's a little uncomfortable. I know it's a little tight. I know you don't know everybody. But the best thing you can do for your children is to have them right here. Amen. In God's house, learning the word, learning to love Jesus. If all you leave them are material possessions, you have left them impoverished. Leave them a spiritual inheritance. Jochebed turned Moses loose into God's hands. So we see the benefit of a godly marriage, of a faithful marriage. We see not only that, we see the boldness of a faithful mother. Lastly, I want you to see this, the blessings of a faithful master. Pharaoh's daughter finds this baby. Now, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that if you love the Lord and go to church and live for Christ, that your children will turn out like Moses. In fact, I've seen many godly parents do their best to raise their children, only to watch their children go off the deep end, spiritually speaking. Only to watch their children walk away from the faith. However, I do want to say that if we honor God and do our best to teach our children to do the same, God can bless those efforts. Notice this, God's protection in verses 3 and 4. God protected this child. God's hand reaches further than a mother's hand can reach. Mom, you can only reach him so far. You can only make the ark. You can only pitch it with slime. You can only place your child in there, but at some point you got to place them in God's hands. And Jochebed turns Moses loose on the river of death, and she trusted that God would take care of her son. And in fact, his sister Miriam stood by to see what would happen to him. And this is dangerous for anybody to be out on this river, let alone a little baby. But obviously, this entire story speaks of the protection and the providence of God. God's protection, not ours. We got the helicopter moms that want to hover over Junior all the time. But there comes a time when you got to raise Junior and turn him loose. And let God take over and teach him to trust God in the same way that you trusted God. And say, God, I can only do so much. He's your child. You lend him to me. And I'm going to give him back to you. And I put him in your hands. We see God's protection. We see God's providence as well. You say, what is providence? Providence comes from two words, pro and video. Pro video. Pro means that which is before. Video means that which is seen. Providence is what is seen beforehand. The providence of God is when God is working behind the scenes and you don't even know it. Can I tell you something? There'll be times in your life when you think God is silent and God is motionless, but God is always working. God has a plan. And God's providence is when God is lining things up that you didn't even know about. You're just trusting him. Everybody in here could probably say that at some point in your life you didn't know how things were going to work out, but then you got to the end and you could look back and go, now I see how God brought me through. That was the providence of God, what he sees beforehand, him working behind the scenes to bring it to pass. That's what Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50 when he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to save much people alive. While you were doing evil, God was behind the scenes doing that which is good. And God is doing that here with Moses, his protection and his providence. It's ironic that Pharaoh's daughter went to bathe at the exact spot at the exact time that Moses would be. Isn't that ironic? The one person who had the authority to bring that child out and protect it and save its life is the one person who went to the one spot at the one time to take a bath, and there she sees young Moses. How ironic. Or how providence works. How providential. But I want you to notice this too, Mom. Not only God's protection and God's providence, but we see God's prosperity. What's cool about this story is that Miriam stood by and to see what would happen to Moses. And Miriam is another example of Jochebed's great motherhood. And she's standing there and she sees Pharaoh's daughter go and get Moses out of the river. She said, I know what I'll do. I'll go and ask her. When she saw that it was a Hebrew baby, she said, hey, would you like for me to go and fetch one of the Hebrew women to nurse this child for you? Pharaoh's daughter said, hey, that's a great idea. Yeah, you do that. And she goes back and gets Jochebed, the woman who trusted God, the woman who had to turn her child loose. God brought that child back to her. And here's what Pharaoh's daughter said. She said, take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. The word wages there can be translated your rewards. Your rewards. The woman who thought she would surely lose her child not only got it back, but got paid to nurse him and raise him. Now, I want to tell you something. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Now, I want to tell you something, Mom. I know motherhood is a struggle. But there's a God who loves you, who's helping you. He's going to help you protect your children. He's going to help you provide for your children. He will prosper you for your labor. God brought Jochebed's child back, and not only brought him back, but gave her the blessings that she needed for her life. God is a faithful rewarder to those who trust Him, honor Him, and obey Him. I don't know about you, but I'd say Moses hit the mother load, don't you think? I'm going to have our musicians come. We're going to prepare to close. I want to leave you with some encouragement today. We need good, godly mothers. I want to talk to each people group here today. Dad, if you got a godly wife that loves her children, you rise up and praise her. Encourage her. Bless her. Pamper her. Love on her. Hey, Dad, help her. For the love of mercy, help her. Get off of your lazy backside and help your wife. Motherhood's a hard job. You say, oh, yeah, but you don't know what it's like. I mean, yeah, it's hard being a dad. Yeah, we all know it's hard for you. We all feel sorry for you. Love your wife. And if you have a good, God-fearing wife, you give God praise for her. Children, those that are in here, the ones that need to hear this is probably in the back. You know, them little heathens about that tall and down. Children, honor your mother today. Rise up. Praise her. Hey, children. Y'all listening, children? One day, how about one day we don't be selfish and obnoxious? How about just one day we think about somebody besides ourselves? You know, that's a lot to ask for children. No, it's not. The problem with our children, we don't ask enough of them. That's what's wrong with our children. How about one day you think about your mother and you honor her? Think about all the things that she sacrificed for. Instead of back-sassing her today, are my children listening? Where's that blonde-headed one at? I already came over first thing this morning running her mouth. I'm being serious. For one day, children, why don't you think about the fact that she carried you for 9 months? She went through intense labor and pain for you. She stayed up. When you were sick, she cleaned up all your stuff. She helped you with your homework. For one day, instead of just you being a selfish little brat, Mama's like, oh, don't call my baby a brat. That's what he is. That's what she is. You know it. That's just because you're mom. You don't have to sugarcoat it. We know what they are. You know what they are too. Instead of being a brat today, how about today we just say, hey, today I'm going to honor my mother. I'm going to love on her. I'm going to dote on her today. All you teenage boys and girls, love on your mom today. Mom, I want to say this to you. As our piano begins to play softly, there's not a mother here who at one time or another doesn't feel like a failure. Mothers are precious. Mothers are priceless. But mothers are not perfect. And you may have made some mistakes, but it's not over yet. When you fail, ask God to forgive you and do better. Get back up, try again. Your children are counting on you. Your husband's counting on you. God's counting on you to raise those children up. God made you a mother, and He didn't make a mistake when He did it. And if you've made mistakes, forgive yourself and move on. Motherhood is hard. Some of you are here and you say, well, my children are grown and gone and they're not what I hoped that they would turn out to be. It's still not over. God willing, you'll have grandchildren. You'll be a grandmother. I want to tell you, some of the most influential people on this planet are grandmothers. Many a grandmother has turned children back to Christ. Many a grandmother have prayed their children into to knowing Jesus and have brought their grandchildren to church and have made incredible, indelible impacts upon their lives. Mom, I want to encourage you today. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be perfect, but God will bless you. You're a magnificent mom. Maybe you're here today and you think, I just need some help. I need to pray that God will help me. He'll help you. Maybe you're here today and you need to be a godly mother. You need to give your life to Christ so that you can be the mother you need to be. Would you do that? We're going to stand together and we're going to sing a song of invitation. Brother Darren, what number are we going to sing? If you have any need this morning, would you come while we sing this song of invitation? Page 405.